We're continuing chapter 19 of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. And Harry's getting ready for his big night. At 11:30 that evening, Harry, who had pretended to go to bed early, pulled the invisibility cloak back over himself and crept back downstairs to the common room. Quite a few people were still in there. The Creevy brothers had managed to get hold of a stack of Support Cedric Diggory badges, and were trying to bewitch them to say Support Harry Potter instead. So far, however, all they had managed to do was get the badges stuck on Potter Stinks. Harry crept past them to the portrait hole and waited for a minute or so, keeping an eye on his watch. Then Hermione opened the fat lady for him from outside, as they had planned. He slipped past her with a whispered thanks. Kind of dumb. And set off through the castle.
Why is that dumb?
Because the fat lady could hear. Right?
The paintings hear and see a lot of things that they...
They don't like, say? The grounds were very dark. Harry walked down the lawn toward the lights shining in Hagrid's cabin. The inside of the enormous Beaubaton carriage was also lit up. Harry could hear Madame Maxime talking inside it as he knocked on Hagrid's front door. "You there, Harry?" Hagrid whispered, opening the door and looking around. "Yeah," said Harry, slipping inside the cabin and pulling the cloak off his head. "What's up?" "Got something to show you," said Hagrid. There was an air of enormous excitement about Hagrid. He was wearing a flower that resembled an oversized artichoke in his buttonhole. It looked as though he had abandoned the use of axle grease, but he had certainly attempted to comb his hair. Harry could see the comb's broken teeth tangled in it. "What are you showing me?" said Harry, warily, wondering if the Scroots had laid eggs or Hagrid had managed to buy another giant three-headed dog off a stranger in a pub. "Come with me and keep quiet, and keep yourself covered in that cloak," said Hagrid. "We won't take Fang, he won't like it." "Listen, Hagrid, I can't stay long. I've got to be back up at the castle by 1 o'clock. But Hagrid wasn't listening. He opened the cabin door and striding off into the night. Harry hurried to follow and found, to his great surprise, that Hagrid was leading him to the Beaubaton carriage. "Hagrid, what?" "Shh," said Hagrid and knocked 3 times on the door, bearing the crossed golden wands. Madame Maxine opened it. She was wearing a silk shawl wrapped around her massive shoulders. She smiled when she saw Hagrid. "Ah, Hagrid, is it about time?" "Bonsoir." I think he's trying to say bonsoir.
Yeah.
Said Hagrid, beaming at her and holding out a hand to help her down the golden steps. Madame Maxine closed the door behind her. Why is Hagrid taking Harry on their date?
I don't remember, but I think, isn't he showing him the dragons?
Oh, that must be it, you're right. Madame Maxine closed the door behind her. Hagrid offered her his arm, and they set off around the edge of the paddock containing Madame Maxine's giant winged horses, with Harry totally bewildered, running to keep up with him. Had Hagrid wanted to show him Madame Maxine, he could see her any old time he wanted. She wasn't exactly hard to miss. But it seemed that Madame Maxine was in for the same treat as Harry, because after a while she said playfully, "Where is it you are taking me, Hagrid?" You don't like my accent.
I do. It's just... It's good. It makes it enjoyable, because she's being like, "Where are you taking me, Hagrid?"
Yeah.
Like, flirting with him. It's just funny.
"You'll enjoy this."
Hagrid has a lover.
Yeah, I know. "You'll enjoy this," said Hagrid gruffly. "Worth seeing, trust me. Only don't go telling anyone who showed you. You're not supposed to know." "Of course not," said the Madame Maxine, fluttering her long black eyelashes. And still they walked, Harry getting more and more irritated as he jogged along in their wake, checking his watch every now and then. Hagrid had some harebrained scheme in hand, which might make him miss Sirius. If they didn't get there soon, he was going to turn around, go straight back to the castle, and leave Hagrid to enjoy his moonlit stroll with Madame Maxime. But then, when they had walked so far around the perimeter of the forest that the castle and the lake were out of sight, Harry heard something. Men were shouting up ahead, and then came a deafening, ear-splitting roar. Hagrid led Madame Maxime around a clump of trees and came to a halt. Harry hurried up alongside them. For a split second, he thought he was seeing bonfires and men darting around them. And then his mouth fell open. Dragons!
Dragons!
Four fully grown, enormous, vicious-looking dragons were rearing on their hind legs inside an enclosure fenced with thick planks of wood.
Wood?
Wood.
Bad idea, guys. Yep. Wizards, come on now!
And hiding them in a forest.
No, seriously. We can do better.
Torrents of fire were shooting into the dark sky from their open, fanged mouths, 50 feet above the ground on their outstretched necks. There was a silvery blue one with long pointed horns snapping and snarling at the wizards on the ground, a smooth scaled one, green one, which was writhing and stamping with all its might, a red one with an odd fringe of fine gold spikes around its face, which was shooting mushroom-shaped fire clouds into the air, and a gigantic black one, more lizard-like than the others, which was nearest to them. At least 30 wizards, 7 or 8 to each dragon, were attempting to control them, pulling on the chains connected to heavy leather straps around their necks and legs. Mesmerized, Harry looked up, high above them, and saw the eyes of the black dragon, with vertical pupils like a cat's, bulging with either fear or rage, he couldn't tell which. It was making a horrible sound, a yowling, screeching scream. "Keep back there, Hagrid!" yelled a wizard near the fence, straining on the chain he was holding. "They can shoot fire at a range of 20 feet, you know. I've seen this horntail do 40." "Isn't it beautiful?" said Hagrid softly. "It's no good," yelled another wizard. "Stunning spells on the count of 3. Harry saw each of the dragon keepers pull out his wand. "Stupefy," they shouted in unison, and the stunning spells shot into the darkness like fiery rockets, bursting in showers of stars on the dragon's scaly hides. Harry watched the dragon nearest to them teeter dangerously on its back legs, its jaws stretched wide in silent howl. Its nostrils were suddenly devoid of flame, though still smoking, and then very slowly it fell. Several tons of sinewy, scaly black dragon hit the ground with a thud that Harry could have sworn made the trees behind him quake. The dragon keepers lowered their wands and walked forward to their fallen charges, each of which was the size of a small hill. They hurried to tighten the chains and fasten them securely to iron pegs, which they forced deep into the ground with their wands. "Want a closer look?" Hagrid asked Madame Maxime excitedly. The pair of them moved right up to the fence, and Harry followed. The wizard, who had warned Hagrid not to come any closer, turned, and Harry realized who it was. Charlie Weasley.
Mm-hmm.
"All right, Hagrid," he panted, coming over to talk. "They should be okay now. We put them out with a sleeping draught on the way here. Thought it might be better for them to wake up in the dark and quiet. But, like you saw, they weren't happy. Not happy at all." "What breeze you got here, Charlie?" said Hagrid, gazing at the closest dragon, the black one, with something close to reverence. Its eyes were just open. Harry could see a strip of gleaming yellow beneath its wrinkled black eyelid. "This is a Hungarian horntail," said Charlie. "There's a common Welsh green over there, the smaller one, the Swedish short snout, that blue gray, and the Chinese fireball, that's the red." Charlie looked around. Madame Maxime was strolling away around the edge of the enclosure, gazing at the stunned dragons. "I didn't know you were bringing her here, Hagrid," said Charlie, frowning. "The champions aren't supposed to know what's coming. She's bound to tell her student, isn't she?" "Yeah, she's totally going to tell." "Just thought she'd like to see him," shrugged Hagrid, still gazing enraptured at the dragons. "Really romantic date, Hagrid," said Charlie, shaking his head. 4, said Hagrid. "So it's 1 for each of the champions? What do they got to do, fight them?" "Just to get past them, I think," said Charlie. "We'll be on hand if it gets nasty, extinguishing spells at the ready. They wanted nestling mothers, I don't know why, but I'll tell you this, I don't envy the one who gets the horntail. Vicious thing, its back end's as dangerous as its front, look." Charlie pointed toward the horntail's tail, and Harry saw long, bronze-colored spikes protruding along it every few inches. Five of Charlie's fellow keepers staggered up to the horntail at that moment, carrying a clutch of huge granite gray eggs between them in a basket. They placed them carefully at the horntail's side. Hagrid let out a moan of longing. "I've got them counted, Hagrid," said Charlie sternly.
"I've got them counted, Hagrid,"
he's warning him. Yeah. I gotcha. "How's Harry?" he said. "Fine," said Hagrid. He was still gazing at the eggs. Good call. I didn't think about that. I imagined his moan of longing was like, "Aw, so cute." But it was, "I want one." Yes.
"They're so cute, I want one." It'd be like, "A handful of kittens."
Yeah.
And I'd be like, "We have them counted, Carolyn."
He's so cute. 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 Aren't you guys so cute? Aw, you're adorable. You're adorable. I love your kitten. He's so cute. He's so cute. We can do. "I hope he's still fine after he's faced this lot," said Charlie, grimly, looking out over the dragon's enclosure. "I didn't dare tell Mum what he's got to do for the first task. She's already having kittens about him."
"Kittens!"
Charlie imitated his mother's anxious voice.
"How could they let him enter that tournament? He's much too young. I thought they were all safe. I thought there were going to be an age limit."
She was in floods after the Daily Prophet article about him.
"Oh, he still cries about his parents. Oh, bless him, I never knew."
God.
Harry had had enough, trusting to the fact that Hagrid wouldn't miss him. With the attractions of the four dragons and Madame Maxime to occupy him, he turned silently and began to walk away, back to the castle. He didn't know whether he was glad he'd seen what was coming or not. Perhaps this way was better. Well, duh, this way was better.
Duh, yeah, stupid.
The first shock was over now. Maybe if he'd seen the dragons for the first time on Tuesday, he would have passed out cold in front of the whole school.
Pretty much, yep.
But maybe he would anyways. He was going to be armed with his wand, which just now felt like nothing more than a narrow strip of wood. Against a 50-foot-high, he can do magic, goddammit, scaly, spike-ridden, fire-breathing dragon.
But it is a dragon. I mean, yeah. I would be freaked the fuck out if I had a dragon facing me. I'd be freaked the fuck out if I had a gun and, like, a wolf came at me, too. Yeah. Which is
Well, guns are hard to shoot. They are.
Wands are hard to shoot, too.
They've been practicing. They don't learn any goddamn things at this school, though. That's the problem. And Harry never practices.
Mm-hmm.
He's such an idiot.
I'd practice all the time because I'd be doing, amazingly cool shit.
Yeah, it would be so fun. It would be, like, the greatest thing ever to practice.
Dude, I know. It'd be like, I want to do magic. There was a part of my life where I was like, man, I really wish I could do magic. That still happens sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, God damn it, why can't I be magical? I'm a stupid muggle. Mm-hmm. I'd be the best magical person ever.
Witch.
Magical witch. I'd be the best witch.
Witch.
That witch.
And he had to get past it, with everyone watching. How?
Reminds me of which way? That way.
Yeah. Harry sped up, skirting the edge of the forest. He had just under 15 minutes to get back to the fireside and talk to Sirius, and he couldn't remember ever wanting to talk to someone more than he did right now, when, without warning, he ran into something very solid. Harry fell backward, his glasses askew, clutching the cloak around him. A voice nearby said, "Ouch! Who's there?" Harry checked around the cloak that the cloak was still covering him and lay very still, staring up at the dark outline of a wizard that he had hit. He recognized the goatee. It was Karkaroff.
Mm.
"Who's there?" said Karkaroff again, very suspiciously, looking around in the darkness. Harry remained still and silent. After a minute or so, Karkaroff seemed to decide that he had hit some sort of animal. He was looking around at waist high, as though expecting to see a dog. Then he crept back under the cover of the trees and started to edge forward toward the place where the dragons were. Very slowly and carefully, Harry got to his feet and set off again as fast as he could.
What about his glasses? Oh, they're probably just not his face askew. Gotcha.
Without making too much noise, hurrying through the darkness back towards Hogwarts. He had no doubt whatsoever what Karkaroff was up to. He had sneaked off his ship to try and find out what the first task was going to be. He might have even spotted Hagrid and Madame Maxime heading off to the forest together. They were hardly difficult to follow at a distance. And now all Karkaroff had to do was follow the sound of voices, and he, like Madame Maxime, would know what was in store for the champions. Mm-hmm. By the looks of it, the only champion who would be facing the unknown on Tuesday was Cedric. Cedric really gets a rough...
I think Harry tells him.
I hope so. Yeah, I think he does. Harry reached the castle, slipped in through the front doors, and began to climb the marble stairs. He was very out of breath, but he didn't dare slow down. He had less than 5 minutes to get up to the fire. Balderdash, he gasped at the fat lady, who was snoozing in her frame in the front of the portrait hall. If you say so, she muttered sleepily without opening her eyes, and the picture swung forward to admit him, yeah. Harry climbed inside. The common room was deserted, and judging by the fact that it smelled quite normal, Hermione had not needed to set off any dung bombs to ensure that he and Sirius had got privacy. Harry pulled off his invisibility cloak and threw himself into the armchair in front of the fire. The room was in semi-darkness. The flames were the only source of light. Nearby, on a table, the support Cedric Diggory badges that Creevies had been trying to improve were glinting in the firelight. They now read, "Potter really stinks." Harry looked back into the flames and jumped. Sirius's head was sitting in the fire. If Harry hadn't seen Mr. Diggory do exactly this back in the Weasley's kitchen, it would have scared him out of his wits. Instead, his face breaking into the first smile he'd worn for days, he scrambled out of his chair, crouched down by the hearth, and said, "Sirius, how are you doing?"
The hearth.
What?
The hearth.
Hearth. Whatever.
Oh, you're such a sweet boy.
Sirius looked different.
Sirius looked different?
Sirius looked different from Harry's memory of him. When they had said goodbye, Sirius's face had been gaunt and sunken, surrounded by a large quantity of long, black, matted hair. But the hair was short and clean now. Sirius's face was fuller, and he looked younger, much more like the photograph Harry had of him, which had been taken at the Potter's wedding. "Never mind me, how are you?" said Sirius, seriously. For a second, Harry tried to say fine, but he couldn't do it. Before he could stop himself, he was talking more than he had talked in days, about how no one believed he hadn't entered the tournament of his own free will, how Rita Skeeter had lied about him in the Daily Prophet. Now he couldn't walk down a corridor without being sneered at, and about Ron not believing him, Ron's jealousy. "And now, Hagrid's just shown me what's coming in the first task, and it's dragon, Sirius, and I'm a goner," he finished desperately. Sirius looked at him, eyes full of concern, eyes that had not yet lost the look of Azkaban had given him, that deadened, haunted look. He had let Harry talk himself into silence without interruption, but now he said, "Dragons we can deal with, Harry, but we'll get to that in a minute. I haven't got long here. I've broken into a wizarding house to use the fire, but they could be back any minute. There are things I need to warn you about." "What?" said Harry, feeling his spirit slip further a few notches. "Surely there are nothing worse than dragons coming." "Karkaroff," said Sirius. "Harry, he was a Death Eater. You know what a Death Eater is, don't you?" "Yes, what?" "He was caught. He was in Azkaban with me, but he got released. I'll bet everything. That's why Dumbledore wanted an aura at Hogwarts this year, to keep an eye on him. Moody caught Karkaroff, put him into Azkaban in the first place." "Karkaroff got released?" Harry said slowly. His brain seemed to be struggling to absorb yet another piece of information. "Why did they release him?" "He did a deal with the Ministry of Magic," said Sirius bitterly. "He said he'd seen the error of his ways. And then he named names. He put a load of other people in Azkaban in this place. He's not very popular in there, I can tell you. And since he got out, from what I can tell, he's been teaching the dark arts to every student who passes through the school of his. So watch out for the Durmstrang champion as well." "Okay," said Harry slowly, "but are you saying Karkaroff put my name in the goblet? Because if he did, he's a really good actor. He seemed furious about it. He wanted to stop me from competing." "We know he's a good actor," said Sirius, "because he convinced the Ministry of Magic to set him free, didn't he? Now, I've been keeping an eye on the Daily Prophet, Harry." "You and the rest of the world," said Harry bitterly. and reading between the lines of what Skeeter Woman's articles said last month. Moody was attacked last night. Attacked the night before he started at Hogwarts. Yes, I know she says it was another false alarm, Sirius said hastily, seeing Harry about to speak, but I don't think so, somehow. I think someone tried to stop him from getting to Hogwarts. I think someone knew their job would be a lot more difficult with him around. And no one's going to look into it too closely. Mad-Eye's heard intruders a bit too often. That doesn't mean he can't still spot the real thing. Moody was the best Auror the Ministry's ever had. But what are you saying? Harry said slowly. Karkaroff's trying to kill me, but why? Sirius hesitated. I've been hearing some strange things lately, he said slowly. The Death Eaters seem to be a lot more active than usual lately. They showed themselves at the Quidditch World Cup, didn't they? Someone set off the Dark Mark, and then, did you hear that about the Ministry of Magic wish who's gone, a witch who's gone missing? Bertha Jorkins, said Harry. Exactly, she disappeared in Albania, and that's definitely where Voldemort was rumored to be last. And she would have known the Triwizard Tournament was coming up, wouldn't she? Yeah, but it's not very likely she'd have walked straight into Voldemort, is it? Said Harry. Listen, I knew Bertha Jorkins, said Sirius grimly. She was at Hogwarts when I was, a few years above your dad and me. She was an idiot. Very nosy, but no brains, none at all. It's not a good combination, Harry. I'd say she'd be very easy to lure into a trap. So Voldemort could have found out about the tournament? Said Harry. Is that what you mean? You think Karkaroff might be here on his orders? I don't know, said Sirius slowly. I just don't know. Karkaroff doesn't seem like the type who'd go back to Voldemort unless he knew Voldemort was powerful enough to protect him. But whoever put your name in the goblet did it for a reason, and I can't help thinking the tournament would be a very good way to attack you and make it look like an accident. Looks like a really good plan from where I'm standing, Harry said, grinning bleakly. They'll just have to stand back and let the dragons do their stuff. Right, those dragons, said Sirius, speaking very quickly now. There's a way, Harry. Don't be tempted to try a stunning spell. Dragons are strong and too powerfully magical to be knocked out by a single stunner. You need about half a dozen wizards at a time to overcome a dragon. Yeah, I know. I just saw, said Harry. But you can do it alone, said Sirius. There is a way, and a simple spell is all you need. But Harry held up a hand to silence him. His heart suddenly pounding as though it would burst. He could hear footsteps coming down the spiral staircase behind him. You know, he should have just let Sirius tell him the spell. Anyways. Go, he hissed at Sirius. Go, there's someone coming. Harry scrambled to his feet, hiding the fire. If someone saw Sirius's face within the walls of Hogwarts, they'd raise an almighty alarm. The Ministry would get dragged in, yeah, I suppose. He, Harry, would be questioned about Sirius's whereabouts. Harry heard a tiny pop in the fire behind him, and he knew Sirius had gone. He was watching the bottom of the spiral staircase. Who had decided to go for a stroll at 1 a.m? And stopped Sirius from telling him how to get past the dragons? It was Ron, dressed in his maroon paisley pajamas. Ron stopped dead, facing Harry across the room, and looked around. Who are you talking to? He said. What's that got to do with you? Harry snarled. What are you doing here at this time of night? I just wondered where you... Ron broke off, shrugging. Nothing. I'm going back to bed. Just thought you'd come nosing around, did you? Harry shouted. He knew that Ron had no idea what he'd walked in on, knew that he hadn't done it on purpose, but he didn't care. At this moment, he hated everything about Ron, right down to the several inches of bare ankle showing beneath his pajama trousers. Sorry about that, said Ron, his face reddening in anger. Should have realized you didn't want to be disturbed. I'll let you go on practicing for your next interview in peace. Harry seized one of the Potter Really Stinks badges off the table and chucked it as hard as he could across the room. It hit Ron in the forehead and bounced off. There you go, said Harry. Something for you to wear on Tuesday. You might even have a scar now if you're lucky. It's what you want, isn't it? He strode across the room, toward the stairs. He half expected Ron to stop him. He would even have liked Ron to throw a punch at him, but Ron just stood there in his two small pajamas. And Harry, having stormed downstairs, lay in his bed, screaming for a long time. and didn't hear him come up to bed. And that's the end of chapter 19. Next we'll read chapter 20 called The First Task. I hope you like that, my kid. You're the sweetest girl ever. I love you. Have a nice nap.